In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Once upon a time, there was a certain father who had two sons. One day, the younger son came to his father and said, "Father, drop dead so that I can have the inheritance coming to me." Despite all societal standards and etiquette, the father actually gave the son his share of the family possessions. And after selling those possessions off and making a profit, the younger son took off for a distant country. Partaking in every sort of indecency under the sun, he quickly lost his small fortune. He became in such desperate need, especially after that famine hit, that he hired himself out to a random citizen and lived and worked among the unclean pigs. When he finally came to himself, he devised a plan to go back to his father and beg for a position as one of his hired servants. Surely he would get back in his good graces somehow. While he was still quite a far way off from reaching his home, his father saw him and felt such deep passion and took off running towards him, embarrassing himself in front of the entire village. Before the son could continue to make any excuses, the father at once called for the best robe to be brought out and draped over the son's half-naked body and the shiniest gold ring to be put on his finger. The father ordered that the calf being fattened for probably the wedding of the elder son be killed in celebration of this miraculous occasion. As the village began celebrating the return of the younger son, his elder brother returned home after a day of dedicated labor to his father's estate. When he heard the symphony coming from the inside of the house, he asked one of his father's hired servants what was going on inside the house. And after learning the reason, the elder son became indignant and refused to enter in. Instead of sending a servant to scold his son, the father came out to plead with the elder son to come in and join the celebration. But the dead son was now alive. The one who was lost is now found. Well, we've heard this story many times. In fact, it pops up in our lectionary at least every 3 years. It's one of those parables of Jesus's that calls for us to pick a character that we can resonate with. And if you're like most, you probably tend to associate yourself with that rowdy prodigal son. Recently, a couple of my friends and I were fortunate enough to sit in on a first-year Gospels class up at the seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We were there for a conference. We had been so worn down by the heady lectures being offered that we readily took a professor up on the offer to sit in on his class. To top it all off, the class was going to cover my all-time favorite passage of Scripture, the parable of the prodigal son. By this time, I had already done quite a fair amount of textual research and reading on this parable, as well as studied paintings depicting the story in a variety of ways. So I was ready for some fresh insight from this respected Lucan scholar. The professor said something rather interesting about people's interaction with the parable. He said this: "People tend to see themselves as the prodigal because it's romantic." Weirdly enough, he was right. He is right. In fact, almost all of the books and the articles and the paintings that I have come across all center themselves around the younger son's exodus and return. It wasn't until I began reading The Return of the Prodigal Son by the now-sainted Dutch Roman Catholic priest Henry Nguyen that I was stopped in my tracks. Like myself and many others before us, Father Nguyen saw himself as the prodigal in the story. After all, it's a beautiful depiction of justification. We were lost, but now we're found. We were dead, but now we're alive. It wasn't until a friend of Nguyen's shed light on a neglected part of the parable that both Nguyen and I saw this story and ourselves in a fresh light. Nguyen writes, "While I explained to Bart how strongly I had been able to identify with the younger son, he looked at me quite intently and said, 'I wonder if you are not more like the elder son.'" The elder son. No, that can't be right. Not the angry one. Not the resentful one. His story isn't the romantic story, after all, leaving us feeling resolved and joyful. As I kept reading Nguyen's work and pondering the parable in this newly shed light, I began to see the undeniable characteristics shared between the elder son and myself. And I wonder, brothers and sisters in Christ, if maybe we're all more like the elder son than we think. If I were a betting man, I would say that for most, if not all of us in this room, well, we've been Christians for quite some time. Some of you have been in the church since before you could cognitively form memories. Others of us came to faith later in life, but at this point, we've learned the motions and the stories and the home team rules. We're a part of the in crowd. And frankly, our sinful flesh and the society in which we live has gotten the best of us. Because even if it's not prominent within us, somewhere in the recess of our hearts and our minds, frustration and anger stirs up at the sight of that wayward, rebel-rousing Christmas and Easter Christian walking into church after being absent for so long. And did you catch that? It's a fellow Christian that's been neglecting the fellowship. It's not someone who doesn't know about the goods that are found here every Sunday. It's one of our own. It's a brother or sister in Christ. It might even be a family member or a friend. And our reaction is similar to that of the elder sons. I've been here all along and have got no special treatment. But when this son of yours shows up out of the blue, he gets the same gifts I get, and seemingly more. This son of yours. We don't even claim them as ones grafted into the same vine or baptized into the same name as us. To us, they're strangers, outsiders, deserving of little to no grace. But in that frustration and anger, we can see the waywardness in ourselves and in the elder son. For we have taken the gift of sonship, of daughtership, that which is given and authenticated only by our Heavenly Father, and we've twisted it, presenting it as something we have created and sustained. Instead of staking our identity in this gift, we look to our own steadfastness and work as the proof and source of our justification, of our loyalty. In reality, we are as lost as those wayward Christians. The elder son has drifted as far from the heart of the Father as the prodigal son has. Thankfully, we have a very gracious Father that invites both the wayward and the seemingly steadfast into his house to partake of his gifts. Although we are left without a proper ending to this parable, does the elder son go in? Does he stay out? Our reenactment of it today can come to a very, very happy end. For the Father calls you and I in to partake of his slain calf, the Lord's body and blood, to forgive us our sins, and to celebrate that his children are home. So as we kneel down at this rail, both the steadfast and the wayward, the Father gifts us with his Son's body, blood, soul, and divinity. And in doing so, he calls us and transforms us into being more like himself, more like that loving Father. So that like him, we will count societal standards as nothing compared to getting the lost ones home. We would rather embarrass ourselves, as the Father did in running to his prodigal son, than risk losing our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. So who do you resonate with in this story? The prodigal? The elder son? Maybe it isn't such an easy decision. Rest in the good news that because of the faithful son's work on the cross, the Father lovingly welcomes his wayward son and his steadfast daughter with outstretched arms. For these, my sons and daughters, were dead, but are alive again. They were lost, but now they're found. Come, let us celebrate. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.